Good morning, everybody. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you on Sunday morning. We are moving right along here this morning. Actually, I'm kind of moving a little slow this morning. Been an interesting week. I want to share some thoughts with you this morning. This is from a movie that Rhonda and I watched recently. It's an old movie. It was actually filmed in 2002, I think, was when it was produced and let go. Didn't get the highest reviews. It's a little janky. It's a little, you know, maybe low budget type of film. But man, the message that came out of it that I caught, I had to go back and find some notes and find some reviews and things and some quotes from this movie, because I thought this is preachable material. This is something that I think we need to hear, especially where we are today. And again, this movie came out in 2002. I think it's very unique how God uses these things to move us in current times. The movie was called Time Changer. Again, written in 2002. Let me give you a little bit of the plot. So in the year 1890, Bible professor Russell Carlyle, who was David Morin, stops and scolds a boy named Roger for stealing his neighbor's marbles. Now, he makes the boy return the marbles and demands he apologize for his unjust action, only for Roger to run away. Carlyle was also written a book and a manuscript promoting themes of bringing forth Christ's teachings apart from his name. The book is on track to receive a unanimous endorsement from the Board of Grace Bible Seminary until colleague Dr. Norris Anderson, Gavin McLeod, objects, arguing that the teaching morality without Jesus as the standard would be detrimental to future generations. The dean puts the vote on hold until Anderson and Carlyle can work out their differences. So now, here's some additional things here. Norris Anderson has been working on something that his father had started even before him, and it was a time machine. I know we're getting a little janky here, but it was a time machine. So Anderson has convinced Professor Carlyle that he can send him 100 years into the future, and that he really needs to see what that looks like before they endorse and publish this manuscript, this book that he's written. So Anderson prepares to send Carlyle 100 years into the future. Sending him on a Saturday afternoon, he instructs Carlyle that he has until Wednesday night, and he must return to the exact location where he came in. It's in an alleyway. He further instructs Carlyle not to tell anyone where he's from, nor is he to learn of his own fate. In other words, don't look at what happened to you. Don't look at any news. However, Anderson does urge him to find a Christian librarian named Michelle Bain, who helped Norris when he himself traveled to the future earlier that year. So here we are. We're going to set this up. Arriving in the late 20th century, Professor Carlyle, although fascinated by society's advancements, is quite shocked at its moral decay. Half of all marriages end in divorce. Teenagers talk openly about drinking underage. Children are disrespectful to their parents and treat moral sins, such as theft, as fun and games. Immodest apparel are openly sold in retail stores. Movies and TV shows contain blasphemous language and inappropriate content. Jesus and the Bible are now banned from public education, and many professing Christians in the church do not really follow Jesus. Carlyle finds Bain, Jennifer O'Neill, and with her assistance, he learns that society decided to remove the biblical foundations of the country that the country was built on in the 1960s. So after deciding that mortality was good enough on its own, finally realizing the error of his ways, Russell begs God for forgiveness. So he's written this manuscript in the 1890s, and society adheres to what he's written. If it continues, okay, you got to keep this in mind. We're in a movie about moving forward into the future. So they removed the biblical foundations from the country in the 1960s. And moral decay is running rampant. So you have to realize that he's from 1890, and he's been sent about 100 years into the future. So now you're looking at, you're there about 1990, somewhere in there. So Norris Anderson, speaking to Professor Carlyle, without the authority of Christ, mankind is merely left to compare ideas. A morality becomes a matter of opinion. One person says it's wrong to steal. The next person says it's not. There's no standard being set. And again, this is you're gonna see some parallels to where we stand today. This is usually coupled with a difference of opinion as to what the definition of stealing is to an individual. And we see that it's not just stealing, it's everything. What is sin? Well, that tends to be a definition that you come up with on your own. You know, for what sin to you might not be sin to me, and this is relativism is what that is. Russell Carlyle responds with this: science and scientific finding do not make the statements in the Bible true. Scripture is always true and never needs verification. This is something very powerful. Scientific support of the Scripture only means the science is true, because we know that the Scripture already is. That's a great statement. Let me read that again. Science and scientific finding do not make the statements in the Bible true. So science isn't proving the Bible true. We already know that the Bible's true. We already know where it comes from. We already know where it's at. Scripture is always true and never needs verification. Scientific support of the Scripture only means the science is true. So what's happening today, and we see this, as science continues to research biblical things, they continually prove the Bible to be true. It continues to prove the points that have been spoken in the Word. Science is continually discovering and uncovering more and more evidence that Scripture is, in fact, true. In the movie, the character Professor Russell Carlyle, having been transported into the 20th century, has been invited to speak to a science class at a public school in the late 1990s. Now, this gets interesting, so I'm just going to kind of read what happened in this movie. Listen to his address as he addresses this class. The best part about Mr. Anderson's work, this is Mr. Anderson from his past, is how he relates everything to the Bible. Remember, students, if any scientific record contradicts the Scriptures, it is the scientific finding that is in error. The Scriptures are never wrong. Now, the public school teacher who's invited him in to speak, who happens to be going to the church where he's attending while he's here, is about to have a meltdown, because she knows he can't talk about this in public school, but he has no idea. He goes on. God's holy word is so trustworthy, it is amazing how it is recorded scientific fact hundreds of years before science ever discovered them, and has proven accurate 100% of the time. So she interrupts him again, but he just keeps going. The Holy Scripture is always your most reliable science book. The school teacher, after making him stop addressing the class, who were rolling their eyes and cutting looks at one another, snickering behind his back, she tells the professor this: well, our nation is no longer built on biblical principles set forth by our forefathers. We haven't been able to study the Bible in public school for years. We've lost prayer in school since the Supreme Court's decision in 1962. Children not allowed to pray in school? How unthinkable, was his response. She continued with, well, we're part of a society that for the most part lives without Christ and his word. Again, Carlyle's response is, oh my. It was the only thing that he could get out of his mouth. She continues, and what's worse, people are beginning to rely on their own goodness to achieve salvation, as if they could earn their way to heaven when it's a free gift from God through Christ. It's just a sign of the times. I believe that secular entertainment is one of the biggest tools Satan uses to mislead people. Did you catch that? This is in the 1990s. I believe that the secular entertainment is one of the biggest tools Satan uses to mislead people. He desensitizes us through it. Murder, violence, sexual immorality, you name it. Sin has slowly but surely become acceptable to us because we see it all the time, so it's no longer shocking to us. I think many of us can relate to this because of the language that we see in the movies and of course, the more exposed sin that we see now it's okay. Used to, you didn't see that on normal TV, but now you do. They just drop language like crazy anymore. This is Carlyle's response, but why are these things ever allowed? Why were they ever even allowed? Questions the professor. She continues, well, frankly, I think Satan is smarter than we give him credit for, and he's very deceptive. When the movie industry started back in the 30s, it was moralistic for the most part. There was a censor board that regulated what could and could not be shown on the screen. And movie makers were very careful about what they were portraying. And that's when the people didn't realize that the devil won his greatest victory. His greatest victory? How so? Mr. Carlyle questions. Because he got the name of the person of Jesus Christ out of the movies. Think about it. She's talking about all the way back into the 30s. I mean, the morals were there for a while, but the Lord himself was not. And as people became more liberated with their views, there seemed to be less and less conviction. Because there was no absolute authority. They weren't teaching an absolute truth, such as the Bible. And that is why people can curse the name of the Lord and they don't even think about it. But how can these movie mockers and these movie makers be so mocking of the Lord? Mr. Carlyle said, do they not understand that he is the one who created them and gives them the every breath, he asks? Mr. Carlyle, it says in the Bible that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If people don't hold reverence for the Lord, what can we expect? Man, that's a very powerful statement. If we don't hold a reverence, if we don't hold a reverent fear of the Lord, if we don't understand what fear of the Lord means, what can we expect in our society today? Right before returning to his own era, Professor Carlyle is asked to address the church that he's been attending. Let's listen in on what he has to say to the congregation. Now, in the movie, it portrays him sitting in a couple of services as he looks around at people who really aren't paying attention, who, for the most part, are just there to do penance. I mean, it's Sunday. They're supposed to be in church, right? It's kind of how what we see a lot of today is what they portrayed. But as he addresses this congregation, listen up as he says to what he says to these guys. He says, however, let me say that the lifestyle I have been observing here these past few days has been, at the very least, startling. In the third chapter of Paul's second letter to Timothy, Paul warns us about the last days. In verse 1 through 5, the scriptures say, but in the last days men will be selfish, proud, without natural affection for one another, unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the list goes on. From what I have seen in the state that this society is now in, reminds me of the days of Noah, just prior to entering the ark, and a lot of Sodom and Gomorrah that's depicted in the Word. Sin appears to be as blatant and as open as it was then. Surely these must be the last days that Paul was referring to, and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. Please do not misunderstand me, friends. I'm not setting myself in a higher moral position than anyone else here tonight. I, too, have failed my Lord in many ways. In fact, I feel partly to blame. In these last days, I have come to realize how wrong I was in my thinking that we could reform society through the teachings of the Lord without the Lord of the teachings. The Lord God who created all things appears to have been eliminated from your schools, your government, and your businesses. Attacked in the arts and in your entertainment. And through these amazing inventions of radio, television, and the movies, the devil has planted sinful thoughts, ideas, and alternatives in the minds of the people. So much so that Jesus Christ and what he did and what he stands for and who he is has been lost. My friends, I urge you this evening, as I have personally done this past week, to first reconsider your own relationship with God through Christ. Please be abundantly clear that you have truly submitted yourself to Jesus and received him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. We know that Jesus will not save any man that he cannot command. And if you're playing a game of pretend with the Lord tonight, if you know deep in your heart you've never truly submitted to him, or if you're unsure of your standing with Christ, now is the time to make yourself right with God by calling out to Christ. Jesus died for our sins and to save our souls from the eternal suffering that is to come. One final judgment will come upon mankind and all those who do not come under the covering of Christ. And the Christians here this evening, let us make this time to renew our purpose and our commitment to be a people who shall live for Christ and to tell others of his enduring act of love. I apologize for speaking so soberly this evening, but these are the things that are in my heart, and I'm afraid will remain with me for a long, long time. The truth is that all of us will live forever, and we will either spend eternity in the presence of our Lord or in a place of darkness. The Bible calls the lake of fire. If you've not, please give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Your eternity will depend on it. Mr. Carlisle, after delivering this very sober and challenging message to the congregation, he quietly slipped out the back and he headed to that alley where the time traveler first arrived. After being transported back into his own time, he is very excited about what he has learned from his travels, and he shares with his inventor, the inventor himself. Nor is the future. Oh, my heavens. Where does one begin? It is incredible. But sin abounds. The Lord is not feared. Morals have replaced Christ, and with liberal teachings, the families are in disarray. No authority, no respect. The world lives without Jesus, while the church seems to be filled with professing Christians who do not follow the Lord they claim to believe in. Yes, it appeared to be this way. I was wrong in my thinking, very, very wrong, Norris. To separate the authority of Jesus from his teachings is indeed deadly, as I have just witnessed the end result. Yes, it will lead many astray. In summary, Professor Carlisle rewrites his book, his article, to begin his journey based on what he found in the future, and even changed the title to Time Changers. It says in the Bible, this is just kind of a recap, it says in the Bible, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When we learn to fear the Lord in biblical manner and what it means to be fearful of the Lord, it's not that God's like some guy sitting up there with a big mallet playing whack-a-mole waiting on us to mess up. That's not what this is about. Fear the Lord, if you really look at it, a lot of people try to refer to it as simply a respect, just like you'd respect your father. You fear your dad because you don't want a whipping, right? It's really not biblical. The biblical context of fear, when you see fear written in the Word, if you go back and look at its origin, its Hebrew or Greek meaning, that word usually translates back to phobia or terror. We're to be like terrified, not of God. God loves us. God's desire is to be with us. God wants to be in a relationship with us. But what we are to be terrified of is his wrath. We're to have a phobia of his wrath, of coming against him, being his enemy. The Bible says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Friendship with the world is being an enemy of God. That's the terror that we should be afraid of, is being an enemy of our God. If people don't hold reverence for the Lord, what can we expect? I look at our world today. If there's no reverence for the biblical acts, if there's no reverence for God himself, what can we expect out of our society? Satan's goal is to remove the name of Christ from his commands. He's done much of that. And when we do this, people who are deceived into thinking if they live a good life, they'll receive God's approval and attain heaven. I have no idea how many times I've heard that God's a God of love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. And that is a true statement. God doesn't send anyone to hell. God says, I wish that all would come to repentance and come unto me. He doesn't send anybody to hell. That's a choice that we make by living a life separate from God and his ways and his commands. The truth is that all of us will live forever. I love that statement. We will live forever. And we will either spend eternity in the presence of our Lord or in a place of darkness, the Bible calls the lake of fire. I tell people a lot that we're all going to heaven. I mean, that's a true statement. We're all going there, but we're just not all staying, because at the judgment seat, the word says that many will come before the Lord and he'll say, depart from me, from I've never known you. I don't know who you are. You're not in relationship with me. Your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Depart from me. And now your eternity is in the lake of fire. If you have not, please give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Your eternity will depend on it. Man, I found that movie as simple as it was, as maybe a little quirky as it was, as maybe a little low-budget film as it might have been, acting not maybe up to par for what we see today, the message was so strong. Mr. Carlyle's original context of his writings were that we could have moral teachings without Christ in the middle of it, with no standard. That is basically the gist of that. If you take the Bible, if you take the standard out, those moral teachings become opinions. Those moral teachings become yours and I idea of what it is to be right or wrong. It's not going to work. There must be a standard, and that standard being the Holy Bible, God's Word, given to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about standard. I know used to back in the day, and I've shared this message before, over in England where Big Ben is. You know what Big Ben is? That big clock in the main tower clock that's in that marketplace or whatever. When it strikes, people would look at their watch. They'd pull their pocket watch or look at their wristwatch, and they would adjust the time to Big Ben. Why would they adjust the time to Big Ben? Because Big Ben was the standard of time. We need to adjust our life, our morals, our precepts to the Word of God, because that's the standard. It doesn't matter what comes out in our society. We've got to look to God's Word and adjust ourselves to His Word. He's not going to adjust to us. He's not changing His ways. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. He doesn't weaken. He doesn't say, well, you know, under the circumstances. Now, the standard remains the same. He expects us to shift our life to His, not His life to us. We're all going to live forever. Some in eternity in heaven, others with an eternity in hell. It's our choice. God made it our choice. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following on our podcast. Again, kind of a simple message today. It just intrigued me. I wanted to share it with you, and I thought this would be a great platform to share this message on. Find the movie, Time Changers. Again, it was written in 2002, I believe. It's out there. We watched it the other night. It's again, it's the 1890s. It's a great setting. And it's an intriguing film, even though maybe it's a little low budget. It's still a great movie. It's still a great film. It has a great plot, and a great characterization of things. So go watch it. Time Changer. Consider your life with Christ today. Find yourself in a fire-breathing church today. Find yourself with a Holy Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-led teaching, worship, corporate worship, that we're inviting the presence of the Lord into our midst at any given time, always. God bless you guys. Ron and I love you. We're praying for you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. We greatly covet your prayers, and we are in need of your support. If you can, financially, all of our giving links are available to you on our website. Pinned right at the top of our Facebook page. There's all kinds of ways that you could support us financially. Please continue to pray with us. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon.